What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, third down and 8. Wilson. Down he goes at the 35-yard line. Matabike again, who's been fairly quiet tonight.
Well, we're in year 2 of guys who we've developed, the guys inside. Everybody in our unit has a skilled move. Everybody in the unit understands the language we talk. We have a specific language that we talk. We have certain moves, how we say it, certain approaches, certain things that we wanted to kind of implement last year, where everybody on the front can be a threat at some point, whether we're in our Raven group with 3 bigs. You know, Mike P. Y'all watch Mike P. He was rushing last year. Brody got sacks. Travis got sacks. Herb had 3 sacks last year. So you want, you know, everyone to be able to do that. And that's kind of the good thing is that we want everybody to be a threat.
So you heard a highlight from last week's playoff game as Russell Wilson was sacked by the Ravens. And then you heard Chuck Smith talking about their whole mindset and their game plan, which leads us into the Ravens pass rush. And when these two teams played back in late September, the Ravens had 3 sacks. Van Noy had 2. Owe had 1. They had 8 quarterback hits in that game. This offensive line for Buffalo is really good. Can the Ravens get a pass rush going on Sunday?
You know, but thinking about this a lot this week, earlier in their careers, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, I think we'd be talking a whole lot more about the element of pressure or blitzing and what that might be able to do to them and how that might be able to affect them. But both have advanced to a level where I think that's kind of rudimentary thinking. You're going to have to come up with a hell of a scheme to blitz your way into subjecting these two to conditions that they can't prevail over. I'm going to be watching with Josh Allen a couple of things in particular. I don't know that they're going to get a bunch of sacks, especially up there. I don't think they're going to beat Deion Dawkins a whole lot on the left side for sure. And I'm not going to say I don't care about sacks, but I think sacks could be a cherry on top to what hopefully will just be a very sound approach. And you heard Chuck Smith there talking about different arrangements of personnel and how they can bring different things out in the defensive front. How many times does Josh Allen throw the ball away? Okay, just think about like what that means for a defense against this guy. It means the on-script stuff didn't work, and you took away his off-script options to the point where he decided to do something that a cooked Russell Wilson would do. That's a huge win.
Yeah.
You get him to do that 5, 6, 7 times, once a quarter, 1.5 times a quarter on average, that's a win. And then how many times does he take off and run and get like less than 6 yards? You know, less than 7 yards. That's a win. And so for me, it comes down to the mush rush and being able to contain him. And, you know, the Ravens will play man in some of their coverages. When you're in man, is he seeing that immediately and breaking off 15 and 20-yard runs, or are you still able to contain him? Are you able to take away his options to where it's throwing it away, not even a screen pass? That's a huge win. The idea that you're going to beat him up or take him out, I just don't see it. This, you know, young man has played 11 playoff games and he averages 330 yards himself between running and throwing the ball. He's faced some good defenses. He's played in different conditions. I don't think it's going to be about a whole bunch of guys high-fiving after sacks. I think it's going to be about the occasional put-away sack on a third and long where you've got to get off the field and everything's tilted in your favor. And then it's about second down, man. Can you get him to throw the ball away a few times on second down? That's what I'm looking at. If it's better than that, great. But I would imagine that Chuck Smith is telling them this week over and over and over again about what it means when you're out on the edge and you can't pass rush too far where you get behind this guy and you can't lose the assignment and you can't get fooled. If you can keep him in that tackle box, you're doing your job.
And the key is going to be you're going to have to win without blitzing. And we saw Kyle Van Noy do that repeatedly in the first matchup. He had four pressures on 19 pass rushes, two sacks in that game. But in 11 matchups against Spencer Brown, their right tackle, two pressures and a sack. In 11 matchups, that's incredible production there. But, Jason, you touched on the fact that, obviously, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson coming into the league at the same time. Both guys were very raw coming into the league. And they've grown in the fact that they can make opposing defenses pay when they send extra rushers. And Josh Allen's numbers against the blitz compared to when he's not blitzed, he's a much better quarterback when he's blitzed.
No, you're doing him a favor. You're not going to rattle him.
A 123.2 passer rating, 16 touchdowns to one pick when he is blitzed, compared to a 92.5 passer rating, 12 touchdowns, five picks when he's not blitzed.
It's about your four creating like a crescent around him and keeping him in that or making him fight through a tackle to get outside the pocket, in which case you should be getting help from the second level. That to me is as important for them defensively as the safeties communicating and guys staying in their assignment when they're in zone. Can they cage him in a little bit? Can they keep him fenced in?
I want to ask you about Van Noy specifically, and Bone gave you some of the numbers. He had two sacks. He had two tackles for loss. He had three quarterback hits. Bone gave you the pressures. This is a veteran guy that I think we'd all agree a lot of what he does is between the years. Like this, he's not a freak. Like,
no.
Like, so do you think that maybe he learned a couple things
sure.
about these dudes and he thinks he might have something for
I
them?
Think he probably Sunday. Feels pretty good about that yeah. matchup on the right tackle. And Owe is the twitchier guy and the speedier guy. And look, if he
had a good game too.
If I'm interested to talk to Baldy about this. I'd never seen it before. Baldy grinds film in ways I don't even pretend to. But if he now has a dip move, if he can get low and bend the edge that way, that all of a sudden, like, again, we heard Chuck Smith talking about guys having different moves and developing signature moves. If that's something he can recreate just a couple times a game, that would be something that Deion Dawkins doesn't deal with all the time.
Always been an athletic freak, but it's adding to his toolkit with those pass rush moves, the repertoire.
Athletic freak, Bone, but he's not a pass rush freak.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he needs to add to the repertoire. And we remember playing that one cut from Chuck Smith when he initially came here, and he was talking about Ajabo, and you would have thought he was talking about Owe, a guy that's been in the league for a year or two at that point. But it sounded like a 180 when he was talking about pass rush moves.
We have a huge Thursday show. It's our second to last show of the week, getting you ready for Bill. Hosting the Ravens coming up 6:30 on Sunday. Remember, we are doing the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show live from Bingo World. Come on out and see us starting at 3:00. Guest wise, we'll talk to our own Melissa Kim at the Castle. She's covering the Ravens for us. What's going on at One Winning Drive? She'll tell us at 2:30. Our weekly chat with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, talking Ravens and NFL playoffs at 3:00. Our weekly chat with IA Hall of Famer Lucy Burge from BetQL at 4:00. And the Terps, can they win on the road? I think we'll get a good idea tonight when they take on Northwestern. Chris Nocchi will be on the call with Johnny Holiday. That game's at 9. Pregame coverage at 8 right here on The Fan.
If they don't win tonight, then I think you got to start worrying about a mental block there.
Yes, agreed.
Everybody's dropping 80 on Northwestern, in Northwestern. They had a great win against Illinois. I think we'll look back on that and say that was an anomaly. But, I mean, they're I went back and looked at some of their Big Ten game. My God.
By the
people
way,
are getting 80 on them. Yeah. No problem.
Before we step out, Zay Flowers not practicing today.
He's not playing on Sunday.
He's the only Raven not practicing today during media availability. So we talked about the Ravens pass rush against the Bills when we come back. What about the Bills pass rush against the Ravens? Is there anything to worry about here? We'll tell you.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan.
Yeah, you just said it, man. You know, playing better run defense, getting healthier on defense, it just feeds into the confidence that you have. When you have success on the field, it feeds into the overall, you know, confidence of the team. Offense is doing their thing, special team is doing their thing, and we're starting to strike hot lately. So, like I said, it's the battle of two heavyweights, and this is what you want. This is why the NFL is the greatest league in the world, because you get matchups like this, and you get quarterbacks like this going against each other.
So that's Von Miller talking about the matchup. And Von Miller was once one of the top pass rushers in the National Football League. I think those days are behind him. But he is a name. When these two teams played in late September, the Bills had one sack in the game. It was by someone named Baylen Specter. They had three quarterback hits. Could the Bills pass rush create problems?
I mean, it's loud. They're at home. I mean, could it? Sure. Has it been a problem for teams by and large? No, it's part of the reason the Rams were able to throw the ball all over them. It's part of the reason the Lions were able to move the ball all over them. They finished the season 22nd in the NFL in pressure rate and 21st in sack rate. Dorian Williams led them in pressure rate. He kind of lost his job when they got healthy at linebacker. Von Miller's pressure rate 60th in the NFL. Even as a situational guy who they try to keep as a less is more type thing. Could Von Miller in late in this game make a play or two? Sure. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
He doesn't get a lot of snaps.
No, they keep him. They're hoping to get one. Like, can he bat a ball down and get a sack? They're hoping to get one or two moments from him. You know, Russo, I think, has proven to be more of a try-hard guy than someone who you're worried about double-teaming or anything like that. He did finish with eight sacks. They haven't developed the kind of pass rush that they thought they were going to. Like the Ravens, they've used a fair amount of high draft capital on pass rushers, and it hasn't really manifested itself in a way where they've got a guy or two that you really have to fear.
The guys Appenenza and I never get his name right, and Russo, there were a lot of expectations for those two guys.
I mean, Russo got eight sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but if you dig down on pressure rate and, you know, hurries per pass rush rep, it's not special. It's not. And they've played with the lead a lot. So it's not like there haven't been opportunities. Not a lot of people were running the ball a whole lot on the Buffalo Bills when they had a stretch of, what, they scored 30 points in 8 of 9 games at one point. I mean, so there's been a lot of drop back situations. I mean, Russo's 77th in the NFL in pressure rate. I mean, like, again, he's a nice football player, but I can't sit here and say that pass rush is a strength for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, you can look at the wild card game. They only had 4 quarterback hits against Bo Nix, even in the first matchup against the Ravens, just 3 quarterback hits against Lamar Jackson, 1 sack. I did find this interesting on NFL Next Gen Stats. Following the Bills' Week 12 bye, so a little bit of a small sample size, Von Miller, 19 pressures on 79 pass rushes. That's good for a league high, 24.1% pressure rate in that span. So only a handful of weeks.
And they've done a really good job of keeping him off his feet. And look, the division sucked. They had the division wrapped up by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, they're fighting for the one seed, but that's not enough to say, oh, we're going to play Von Miller 50 snaps this week and see what happens. They've been able to manage game situations. So I'm looking for them. It's like the Ravens. It's all about their season starts now. They're going to be judged on what they do from here on out. And they did a good job of, well, like, he was hurt for a while too, but of keeping him off his feet.
If you look at the Ravens' losses, where each of the 5, the opposing defensive front got after Lamar Jackson, but in those games, the Chiefs, Chris Jones is a stud. Max Crosby's a stud for the Raiders. Miles Garrett's a stud. TJ Watt's a stud.
They beat the Bengals, but Hendrickson gave them
it. Exactly. Where Buffalo doesn't have that stud pass rusher that's going to keep Todd Monken up at night. That's not to totally discredit Von Miller, what he's done in his career. He'll probably go to the Hall of Fame one day. But
oh, yeah, he will.
I mean, getting up there in age and, of course, has dealt with some injuries, but they don't have that stud.
No, I mean, look, could Ed Oliver shoot the gap and, you know, have himself? Could he get the better of Falele a time or two or something like that? It's certainly not out of the question. I think they'll have to scheme up a fair amount of pressure and do it often with 4 and sometimes with 5. They don't want to blitz much. They want to be incredibly sound against the pass. They pride themselves on that above all else as a defense. That's something Sean McDermott believes very strongly in. However, styles make fights, and it may be that we're, like we talked about yesterday with Ross Tucker, that they may have to attack on passing downs and attack on running downs with numbers to give themselves a fighting chance and sell out to create a takeaway, sell out to create a sack, sell out to create a -3 run on first down that gets the Ravens off script. They may have to reinvent themselves in a way that, like, Bill Belichick's teams would often do when they were at the peak of their powers. Now, he also had a Vince Wilfork and some D tackles who would make that easier.
Richard Seymour.
To shape shift. Yeah. And the Bills don't have that. And I think the lack of natural pass rushers and the lack of two gappers is a lot to overcome schematically against especially against an offense that by some metrics was the most prolific in NFL history.
And there's the other variable in here too. Don't we expect the Ravens to run the ball down their throats? And
yes.
So when they throw, it's going to probably be play action, which is going to slow them down to begin with, isn't it?
The other part of it, Jason, you brought this up the other day. We've yet to see the Ravens really pass a ton out of that extra offensive lineman formation. You have to wonder if play action comes into play with that formation this week?
I think it absolutely will. And look, even if you sell out to try to stop Lamar Jackson, and in years past, this was not the case. But he's the fourth highest rated passer in the NFL when pressured this season. Now, look, he's completing less than 50% of his passes. I'm not going to say that pressure won't affect him. Pressure affects everybody. I mean, we're talking about a 96 passer rating under pressure and 120 for the season. And when he's not pressured, it's got to be 140-something. But he's a top four passer in the NFL when pressured. So we know that alone isn't going to get it done.
Coming up next, we head out to One Winning Drive. Melissa Kim is there covering the Ravens for us at 105.7 The Fan. What is she seeing? What is she hearing? Melissa Kim joins us next here on The Fan. Ravens back on the practice field today, getting ready to take on the Bills on Sunday. They're back indoors. The fields are frozen, but they got the windows and doors open, so it must be freezing inside. And let's go out to One Winning Drive. We're joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline is our own Melissa Kim. And Melissa, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So Zay Flowers not on the practice field again today. If you were a betting woman, I know Harb said he could not practice all week and still play Sunday. Do you expect Zay Flowers to play on Sunday?
I, as of right now, do not. Because, I mean, you know, he's been out for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, I just think that perhaps it might just not happen for him. I think that maybe, obviously, we don't really know how serious the injury is, but obviously it's serious enough for him to not play against the Steelers and potentially not play against the Bills this weekend. I think that I know that he's someone like, even if he doesn't play or doesn't practice rather, that he could play, but I personally do not expect him to, given the fact that we haven't seen him all last week and yesterday and today. And these are the main 2 days of practice. As we know, tomorrow is generally just a walkthrough mental rep, as Harbs likes to call it, but I would not bank on it. However, I think that they proved last week that, look, this, they have so many weapons on offense that they can still get it done without him.
Melissa, it's supposed to be really cold in Buffalo on Sunday. Single digits.
It's very cold here.
It is really cold, but even colder in Buffalo. And a lot's been made about the weather. I know it was
the bone simulator, in case you're wondering, in his basement, Melissa, is running hot.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering about that.
The
bone simulator, where he does his calculations.
We don't need a sidetracker here.
Kind of important.
It's a big part of the show.
Harb's players were questioned about the weather. Is it overblown, or do you think it is a big factor for Sunday?
I mean, we know that Lamar Jackson technically does not enjoy playing in the cold, but he was asked whether he was going to play with gloves on. He is not, for the record. He has not practiced with gloves on. He plans on playing with no gloves, with his bare hands. Look, I think that it can be a factor, but it's, the guys aren't really making it a factor. You know, I've talked to a number of guys over the last couple of weeks, because I definitely count, like, who wears no sleeves at practice and stuff.
Mm.
And most of the guys that don't, like today, it was Andrew Voorhees, Tyler Linderbaum, and the usuals, obviously Mark Andrews, Tavius Robinson, and Roquan has been wearing shorts for the last 2 weeks. They're all definitely trying to get acclimated to the cold for sure. I mean, I'll tell you, I was in the field house yesterday and today, and even though we were inside, it was cold. You know, I mean, I'm also a wimp when it comes to the cold, but you could definitely feel the chill in the air. It was noticeably different than an average day in the field house when the doors are closed. So, I mean, they're really not making a big deal out of it. I talked to Tyler Linderbaum one-on-one in the locker room yesterday, and he's from Iowa. He's someone who is used to those Midwest winters, and he's like, yeah, of course, cold is going to feel cold no matter what. But he's like, you know, you just have to make it not a factor. And Daniel Fa'alele, I talked to him one-on-one in the locker room yesterday, too. He said the same thing. He's like, yeah, I went to Minnesota. I mean, it's fine. He's like, I don't really feel it. Once you get out there and you're in the zone, he's like, you don't really think about it. So as much as a factor as we've made it out to be, or the general public has made it out to be, the guys certainly are not making it a factor at all.
As Bone likes to say, cold is cold.
Yes.
So was Roquan out there like pushing that for shirts versus skins? Was he looking for like shirts versus defense and skins, shirts on offense? Let's go.
I hope not. But he's actually told me before that like when he goes out to games that he like puts like a layer, like if, I think it's as an occlusive or something like that. You put like a layer of Vaseline like on your arms and stuff like that. Well, if you put like a layer of like Vaseline like on your arms and stuff like that, it like traps like the moisture in on your skin. This is like a skincare thing too. Like I've seen girls on TikTok and stuff like that. Like at nighttime when you do all your skincare, like if you put a layer of Vaseline on as your last step, it packs in all the moisture and all that onto your skin.
Yeah.
Skincare tip right there for you.
Wow.
So the guys
Jason
are doing that on their arms.
Skincare regimen.
I do that.
I
do that every day already.
This is just a gift. Yeah. I don't do anything. Totally raw dog. And I use hand soap on my face. I use bar soap on my face, and that's it.
I will say, because I had Accutane, so my face gets exceptionally dry. So I do need a moisturizer.
Vaseline. You should use Vaseline.
I'm a
I'm a big Vaseline guy.
You're
for
a big
arms,
Vaseline guy?
Legs. Yeah? Yeah, every day.
All over.
Crevices?
This is going down a road that I feel like we should not.
Arms, but. Legs.
Okay.
Crevasse.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're up, Gigi.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was thinking about the Vaseline.
Yeah, hello.
We're talking to Melissa Kim. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Melissa, we've been talking all week. Like, can the Bills, we saw it the first time, the Ravens ran down their throats, and they really hadn't fully figured out the run game yet. Are your expectations to see them run the ball down the Bills' throats again, or at least try?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that they've really been able to learn how to use all the weapons that they have on that run game, namely Derrick Henry, obviously, and Justice Hill as well. You know, I was talking with a couple of the guys, the Media Corps guys at practice today while we were watching Justice Hill, and we're just like, man, this guy's so underrated. He might be one of the most underrated running backs in the league. So, yes, Derrick Henry is obviously the big weapon that everyone has their focus on, but don't discount Justice Hill either. You know, he's, like, been really great on third down. And also Keaton Mitchell and Rasheen Ali, too. Keaton Mitchell, we haven't seen the full
repertoire
of what he's repertoire of what he's capable of yet this season. We know what he's capable of, but we haven't really seen everything from him yet this season, you know? And so I think that definitely, I mean, expect a lot of the run game, especially when it's going to be so cold out. You know, I think that we can definitely expect, and they've obviously figured it out. We've seen that over the course of the last 6 weeks or so.
Melissa, it's been a revolving door at punt returner. Are you expecting a...
By design, apparently.
Are you expecting
allegedly
a different punt returner on Sunday? Maybe Deontay Hardy gets activated.
I would not be surprised if he was. He was obviously someone that had a lot of success in that role before he got injured. And so given the alleged, reported, whatever you want to call it, designed rotation that we've seen for the last couple weeks. That's an area, you know what I mean? That was one thing that we talked about on the post-game show last week, Beltway Ben and I, that, you know, that seems to be an area that, given the history of the success of special teams in this franchise, hasn't really worked out that well for them so far, but we hope that they figure it out, especially because the other two phases of the ball are playing phenomenally right now, the best they have all season.
Are you familiar with the blood feud going on between the city of Buffalo and our pal Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard rumblings of this, actually. No, I have seen, yes.
Sure, because I wanted to make sure this was on your radar.
It should be.
Because.
Of course it is. The city of losers bit, yes.
You'll be, yes, city of losers.
He's just stating facts.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
That's what he said.
We're not saying that.
Yeah,
that was his quote.
He said that, yes.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
So. You will be flocking it down tomorrow, correct?
Correct. We will be flocking it down.
And then you'll
be
post-gaming it up.
Correct. But we will not be calling people names.
No. I'm not inferring that in any way.
Okay.
But when you do get around to the post-game show, win, lose, or draw, I just wanted to put it on your radar. I think a lot of people still associate the good doctor with this radio station.
Yeah.
And that you may be flooded with calls from Western New York, them thinking they're going to get a shot at the doc. Yeah.
Melissa,
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint them. I'm so sorry to disappoint them, but it'll be me and not the illustrious Jerry Coleman.
Well, I'm just giving you a heads up. I did post-game with Jeremy following that Bills playoff loss when he pissed off the entire city talking about Jerry. It was flooded with Buffalo area codes. We didn't take calls because of it. So that is a thing, not joking, just a heads up on Sunday night.
That's not a bone simulation. That is a truth. That is a fact.
Especially if the Ravens lose. Get ready for that.
Honestly, I'm kind of impressed. Like, you know what I mean? You really have to be, like, for one person to, like, make an entire city angry.
That's pretty wild.
That's pretty impressive.
It would be Jerry, right? Yes.
It would be Jerry.
I mean, I'm kind of impressed. I'm not going to lie.
No, it's very impressive.
That. Yeah. So let's close with this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You weren't done.
No. I'm just marveled at the talents right now of Jerry Coleman. That's all.
He's a goat.
Yes.
He is the goat.
He's the anger goat. The goat. So before we let you go, will you be post-gaming it up after a victory? How are we feeling about this football game, Melissa Kim?
Look, when I was looking at the potential playoff matchups about 2 weeks ago, there was only one team that I was like, oh, this might be a concern. And unfortunately, it is the one that the Ravens are playing on Sunday.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think the Chiefs are as good as advertised. I'm not going to lie. I don't think they're as good as their record shows. The Bills, though, they've been on such a strong upward trajectory towards the end, the middle of the season towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, too. So I think that if the Ravens do win, I think that it will be by a very close margin. It's going to come down to something like a Justin Tucker field goal to win the game.
Melissa Kim, she'll be hosting the Flock down tomorrow. And then the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored post-game show with our one Beltway Ben Hall after the game on Sunday. Melissa, thank you as always for your time. Stay warm out there.
Thank you. You guys too.
Thank you.
Wear oranges. Coming
Wear
up
Vaseline.
Next. Yeah. It's T-Bone time. How do you follow that, Bone?
I don't.
It's TMI with T-I-M.
Well, now that with the Bone going to the Ravens practice,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he's got to ask guys about Vaseline now.
Yes, you do.
Add that to the list.
Yes. Will they be Vaseline?
Do they Vaseline? And then also, I guess, has it carried over into their nighttime routine?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, give me your skincare ready. Yeah. We've talked a lot about
Down to Clown. I remember
that is the bone.
Somebody was allegedly Down to Clown.
That's true.
We've talked a lot about Rashad Bateman and his development, his breakout year. But listening to John Harbaugh meeting with the media, he had an interesting quote yesterday. Looked into the numbers. Tell you where maybe Rashad Bateman has grown the most this season. Next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time. TMI with T-I-M. The floor is yours.
Rashad Bateman was in the end zone again last week against the Steelers after scoring 9 touchdowns in the regular season. And he only had 4 touchdowns combined his first 3 years of his career.
Had more picks throwing to him than he did touchdowns.
Yeah, it's really been a night and day difference in terms of productivity when Lamar throws to Bateman. 60.6 passer rating last year, 125.9 passer rating this year. But John Harbaugh, when he was meeting with the media yesterday, talked about Rashad specifically in the red zone.
Well, I think he runs great routes, and it's a tight area. Things happen fast in the red zone, and a good route runner is a big deal. I mean, people assume it's just size and, 50-50 and go get a ball type thing, but I think route running, the value of route running in the red zone really goes up.
Bateman is not a big guy that you would think, like Mark Andrews, who always dominates in the red zone. Bateman, 6'1", 190 is what he is listed at. And you would think, given all the touchdowns that he had, that the production would be there inside the red zone. So I said, self, why don't we dig into that? And the numbers.
Did you say self or did you say bone simulator?
No, I said self.
Okay.
Well, these are numbers. These are facts, what I'm giving. Bone simulator usually is predicting.
Yeah. Okay. Is bone simulator frozen? What's going on with the simulator these days?
Broke it out a little bit. We'll do a little bit.
Okay. I want you to simulate every Grapefruit League game.
Rashad Bateman in the red zone. Lamar Jackson targeting him. 8 for 10, 93 yards, 7 touchdowns. And unfortunately, that interception in the second Steelers game where Rashad stopped his route, didn't look right. And that's remarkable production. 105.4 passer rating. If you take out the pick and it would be 8 for 9, 7 touchdowns, it would be a 149.3 passer rating. And this is where the route running does come into play. Yeah. We would always joke last year where PFF, they put out the separation graph. Mm-hmm. He's all the way in the top right. But why is that not translating to success? Where this year it is. And a lot
he was
of
running great routes, Bone. They were just the wrong ones.
Yeah,
they just weren't the ones that corresponded with the rest of the play.
Here,
tons of separation.
Here, the rest of his production, career production in the red zone prior to this year. 2023, 1 for 3, 10 yards, a touchdown. 2022, 1 for 1, 4 yards. 2021, 5 for 6, 30 yards and a touchdown. So just 2 touchdowns in the red zone prior to this, and there was a combined 10 pass attempts going his way, where he has 7 touchdowns in the red zone this year and 10 pass attempts this year alone. So the other part of it is trust.
Absolutely.
If you're throwing to a guy in the red zone with the condensed space, that's why Mark Andrews produces so much, because him and Lamar are on the same page. And Lamar knows, if I'm going to throw it into a crowded spot in the red zone, the play that immediately sticks out to mind, remember the Eagles touchdown where he threw it in, what, 2-3 guys in coverage there? But Andrews high pointed the ball and it was a touchdown. He has that type of trust with Bateman this year.
If you are bored and you have access to the NFL.com accounts with the All-22s, go and watch some of Lamar's throws to Bateman, not from the typical All-22 angle, but from behind the end zone.
Yeah.
And see where the ball comes out and where the receiver is. There, it's trust in that regard. It's trust that when that in-breaker or that out-breaker is going to be to a certain point, I now think he's going to be there, so I'm gripping it and ripping it to him. I'm giving him opportunities to make plays on certain patterns and certain parts of the field where in the past the juice just wasn't worth the squeeze.
To your point, the first touchdown in the game Saturday night, he had to weave it between two guys, and Bateman was coming across, so he had to trust that he was going to be there. It was a beautiful throw and catch.
I mean, there's been a lot of sideline stuff that I've seen him get to this year that in years past, those balls, I mean, how many times would Lamar throw it out and he breaks in? And like, it would happen all the time. Sideline patterns, they were never on the same page.
And you would see visible frustration on Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Bone, you're heading to the castle, correct?
I am. Heading out now.
It's playoff time. You looking forward to Monk? Zach Orr?
Hopefully this isn't the last Monkey business, but I want to be there.
I hope not.
I want to be there just in case.
Monk allegedly had a Zoom interview with a football team today. I think he had one yesterday.
Jags and the Bears today, tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's that season.
It is.
Monk in Jacksonville, that feels like a fit to me, man.
Could be interesting. He'd have a quarterback, if you believe in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
It depends on how you feel, but he was drafted 1-1, so people thought he was supposed to be really good.
You could do worse.
Yeah, you got Brian Thomas, who some would say he should have been a Pro Bowler this year, playing with some of the dreck he played with after Trevor Lawrence got hurt, and putting up the numbers he did. So you've got your quarterback, you've got your receiver. Need to draft well other places, but that guy, I think Monk's proven he's been a genius this year.
If I were advising Shad Khan, I'd say that's your guy. Looking at their list of who they're talking to, I'd say Monk's your guy.
Coming up next, Bone's gone. He'll be back, what, around 5, you think? Brian Baldinger, our weekly chat with Baldy. We'll talk Ravens and NFL playoffs with the Odyssey NFL Insider next here on The Fan.